Hi, I'm Mike McCarthy, and welcome to Talks with Test Meter, a series helping make sense of all things test and measurement. This week's subject matter is something we don't find is talked about enough, what we would call the forgotten costs of ownership in test equipment. Returning today are Test Meter's Lasse Tonnesen and Chris Fox. Thanks for joining us again today. So, a potential customer has found the right product for their application in stock and at the right price. That's where most people start, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, obviously, as equipment suppliers, test equipment suppliers, we're talking all day more or less about finding the right equipment for customers. For us, several different industries, electrical, mechanical, gas, HVAC, it could be a variety of different industries. And I think it's worth remembering that the equipment we sell, the products we sell are based on need, first and foremost. They're not luxury products in general. So there's generally something there that's really dictating the choice of the purchase. And that can, for us, very often legislation, there can be, a prevention of downtime, implementing more efficient work practices, saving energy is, a variety of different reasons for that equipment. But, it's not a luxury decision based on that. So there's other things driving that decision making.
Yeah, understandably, things like budget as well. Customer might have a specific budget, how much they want to spend on an instrument. And then obviously there's the comparison of specification versus what the instrument is on the market listed at as well. So often these things come into consideration too.
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a lot of other areas, though, aren't there, that are quite often we'd say forgotten, probably, when it comes to making these decisions. And I think it's quite important to raise that today.
It's sort of, it's kind of the iceberg principle, really. So, as Chris just alluded to, price and specifications, understandably, importantly, are always sort of the primary decision maker. So let's sort of picture that as being the tip of the iceberg above the water, that we can all sort of see, that we all dedicate our time to thinking about, advertising, all this kind of thing. But, so I think the purpose of our conversation here today is really just to sort of remind customers, because we're having the conversation with them anyway, about all these other factors that should probably be also be part of their decision making. So yeah, that's sort of the purpose. There's all these other factors underneath the water that are definitely worth considering before choosing the product.
Yeah, absolutely. One good example being instrument calibration and servicing every sure. year. Obviously, not all instruments on the market require annual calibration and servicing, but most do. For example, an electrical contractor who may be registered with a body like the NIC or NAPIT, those assessors are generally on site every year requiring evidence that the instrument has been calibrated and serviced, and they basically making sure that it's still operating as intended. So there's an annual cost there straight away that, will need to be considered after the purchase of the instrument.
Well, at least it should be. And, yeah. And ironically, it's almost a market that's sort of under regulated, you could really say. So calibration isn't necessarily calibration. I think for a customer, it's worth questioning for themselves and in the interest of the reliability of their instrument and actually, the service that they're paying for, or what type of calibration is it? So because there isn't a governing body really always overseeing all calibration labs out there. There obviously are with UCAS, but there's a lot of actors in the UK market that are calibrating things either very well or at times maybe not so well. We see sort of a lot coming through our lab, and there's things that we can't do to the fullest extent, so it's almost better for us just to really pass on it. But
yeah,
it's really difficult, I think, for consumers to really understand this, but it's worth considering the cost, but also understanding is no point sort of saving 30% of your calibration and only getting a calibration certificate that potentially documents that half of the instrument has actually been calibrated and checked. Cost of calibration, definitely a factor, and considering the partner, the service partner you're appointing to look after your equipment.
That's it, because some service centers like Test Meter are approved by various manufacturers. So if you're investing a lot of money in an instrument, naturally you're going to want to have your instrument serviced and calibrated by somebody who's authorized by that manufacturer. And so our lab specifically is basically analyzed every year by different manufacturers who come in and audit the processes that we do when it comes to servicing the instruments. And so rest assured, customers do know that their instruments are in good hand when it's been serviced.
I think the other the thing is also practicality, you know. So I think Mike, you did an episode not so long ago with Jonathan from Kane, and he was really sort of talking about, well, trying to sort of paint a picture of, well, consider the cost of not having the instrument available to you. So to a lot of people, independent contractors or engineers in the road, I mean, it stops and prevents them from doing their job. It prevents them from potentially getting paid. So like downtime is a massive factor. Is there anything there that can help you in the meantime to overcome certain parts of your job? I mean, all these are costs that should be considered when buying the instrument. Is it practical for me to get this instrument serviced and calibrated? How long is it going to take? Where do I need to take it? We can collect instruments from around the UK, and it works really well, and it works really smooth. But you know, at times it might be service centers that can do a similar job or same job that are more local to you. So again, this is really not, you know, just about saying it has to go. It's lovely when it goes back to us, and we thank people very much for using our services. But consider the options when considering the purchase.
That's it. Like Lasse says, if something's very local to you, instantly you're going to save a day or two on posting your instrument back and having it sent back to you just by dropping it in locally. So yeah, these are often considerations.
Mm. Definitely.
But again, there are lots of, so practicality, I get that, but you know, you also see things being dropped off locally and potentially being sent to whoever that local trade counter, that partner designates as their calibration facility. If it is something that's subbed out, ask the question, where's it going? What's going to be, who's, you know, is it, whoever you're sending it to, are they going to be, what's their lead time of getting it back? Are they accredited to look after this specific piece of equipment? Mm-hmm. All fair questions, but all things that dictate an actual true cost of ownership long term.
Yeah, because I suppose if it's nice and easy for someone to drop it off at a local trade counter, but if they don't know where it's going or it's being done by some guy out back who maybe isn't an accredited service center, then it's a very different picture than using a manufacturer-approved service center.
Exactly. So just a different analogy. It's like when you go to an airport on holiday, you leave your car in a car park that you believe is local to the facility. You come back and there's like often a lot of miles that have been put on your car because they've driven it to somewhere else off site. So often you don't know what goes on behind the scenes. So it's just bringing back that point to make sure that you are aware of what you're getting.
So I suppose another area that's often forgotten about is product training. Obviously, these products are normally bought for out of necessity, as we said before, but there's sometimes a little bit of a gap in the training and people aren't necessarily au fait with these products when they receive them.
That's it. Especially when you're making such a sizable investment, it's always a good idea to have that knowledge and training in place in order to maximize the investment that you've made against that product.
And I'd also maybe just challenge the word, yeah, you're right, it's a necessity, that's true. But very often with a new piece of test equipment, there's also opportunity and product training may not, whether that's face-to-face or online, but just may actually ensure that you're getting the most out of that equipment for whatever the reasons you've bought it is. But again, it's a consideration. It's a potential hidden cost, and it might be an actual requirement to use it. So again, factor it in. Have we got, or have I got the know-how, or have my business got, or my team got the resources to get the most out of this investment, or do we need to talk to a local training college? Do we need to talk to the supplier? We do training on some bits of equipment, not everything, but some. Thermal imaging being one, PET testing equipment, other things as well. So, you know, we welcome the question, but again, consider it at potentially a time of purchase.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, there's different degrees of training as well, aren't there? So, I mean, thermal's a really good example, obviously. Depending on the product you're buying, it may be that you can receive some training during that purchase, or it may be that you get a demo, or you're, you know, depending on the value or the type of product. But obviously then if you are paying for training, there's differing levels and there's differing degrees of training. So it's important for people to really consider what they need at that point.
We're also here to support that as well. So quite often not, and there's quite a few products that we're promoting at the minute with free training packages supported by the manufacturers. So if somebody is in the market for an instrument and they're unaware as to whether the free training package is sufficient or not, then obviously they can call us and then we can just confirm that with them.
Lovely. The next area that I wanted to talk about really was product warranty. Obviously, everybody, every consumer is used to warranties on products, but naturally that differs between manufacturers and products. So I think, again, it's something that's often forgotten about.
Yeah. It's a really good point. There's a couple of things to that I'd mention. You know, us in the UK, we buy products from, fortunately, still British manufacturing companies. A lot of our suppliers are European based. Some of them have British based teams and subsidiaries and service teams and all the rest of it. So there's a couple of factors with warranty. You know, probably the length. Mm-hmm. 12 months and some, you know, 24 months, sometimes 36 months. There are times where you can buy, I think, additions to those warranty packages. So again, look at it. If there's a CapEx there for a piece of equipment, it might just be worth ensuring that peace of mind by at least discussing it and looking at it, as opposed to paying for repair later down the line. And the other thing, again, is practicality. So who you're buying from, is there a capability to turn the product around, and what's the time scale in case that there was a warranty claim? And hopefully it's our job to try to work with manufacturers where their instruments are pretty reliable, but you know, it can happen.
Yeah. I think it's also worth as well, I mean, the last year or so, we have seen manufacturers that are offering almost like extended warranties now, where you can purchase like a longer term warranty from the manufacturer. But there are still some manufacturers on the market that have specific terms and conditions, one or two, where you only get 1 year warranty. But if you were to register that product on the manufacturer's website, that would then extend to 2 or perhaps 3 years. Again, thinking of a specific manufacturer, you need to specify that you bought your product from an authorized distributor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to get those benefits, it's worthwhile shopping around for an authorized distributor like Testmeter.
That's a really good point. I guess consider the source, and we're probably biased sat here.
Yeah.
But looking at myself as a consumer, again, just be mindful where you're buying the equipment from. Are you getting the warranty? It's not necessarily the case. Consider it.
Mm. Also on from warranty really would be the cost of repairs. Obviously that differs hugely between instruments and manufacturers.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's probably something our customer service department have a lot of knowledge about, dealing with all the different manufacturers that we deal with.
Practicality of the repair as well. Can it be done in the UK? It's not always the case. So it has to be shipped back to a European base. It's not easy as it was once. So there's a bit more paperwork still involved now, but it's all doable. It's all fine, but
there's an implication to it.
There's an implication.
A cost implication or a time implication.
That's it. And while ever the industry, the tester or the instrument is not in use, then yeah, potentially that's costing somebody work. It's preventing, not preventing downtime. So there's all these other factors to it.
And I mean, we've done blog articles on the website as well about looking after the instruments, the investment that you're making. Because quite often, just daily upkeep of your actual test instrument itself, the accessories, can negate some of these really expensive out-of-warranty repairs, should I say.
Yeah.
So just general good housekeeping and just looking after your kit.
Absolutely.
Is one of the easiest things you can do that is going to negate that risk.
And I think for certain equipment where you're sort of reliant on accuracy of measurements and potentially those measurements are documented and form as part of reports, 18th edition electrical installation testing being a just one example, but others as well. I think, you know, even the use of some form of a verified ongoing check method. There's obviously checkboxes and calibration checkboxes and other ways to sort of periodically just check readings against a known source. I mean, the last thing you'd want is to sort of send it away from calibration and then it's drifted, and you have in that instance really got potentially, you know, if it's been calibrated 12 years ago, in principle, you've got up to 12 months of questionable readings. Where do you start? So just a way of negating that, if you are doing fortnightly or monthly checks, then that would be pretty quickly spotted.
Another thing that I really wanted to talk about today has been in the news quite a lot recently, and that's theft. Obviously, instrument theft is unfortunately rife. Mm. And I suppose another potentially hidden cost is how you negate risk of instrument theft or deter instrument theft.
Sure. You're right. I mean, there's been so much about this in social media and the news recently. I've seen protests in London, parliamentary petitions, excuse me, as well. So there's a big noise being made about tool theft specifically, and rightfully so. Testing instrumentation is very expensive, probably as expensive as power tools that are being stolen. So it comes back again to probably just, you know, good housekeeping. Make sure that you're taking your test equipment out of the van at the end of the night. If you're bringing it into the house, you know, putting it somewhere safe, really to help negate the risk of these bits and pieces being stolen.
I guess I'm not an expert in the matter, but obviously things like getting proper insurance. But I think another thing to, again, is about downtime as well for us. So instrument theft is terrible. It's obviously just a poor symptom of society that's grown and become more prevalent over the years, unfortunately. But what's it going to look like if it happens? How long is it going to take to source that instrument? What's the sort of potential worst case scenario in the meantime while you're waiting for that to get settled with an insurance payout or various other things? So, you know, certain manufacturers will have some guarantees in place to try and help that. I know within the gas and HVAC range being an example of this. But yeah, it's something else to consider.
It is. And at the end of the day, it's people's livelihoods that are at risk. You consider, you know, some people use these test instruments every day, day in, day out. They're doing a lot of testing, a lot of installation work as well. And if they don't have those tools, then that's a massive loss of earnings for them. And if they're, you know, one, two-man bands, even larger companies,
yep,
it's a huge risk. It's income that they need and they're living without.
Yeah, and I suppose just going back to what we were saying before about repair, it's no different. If you're without your instrument for whatever reason, you can't work. And mm-hmm. therefore, there is a cost and a hassle to replacement or being without it for a period of time. So it is a really important factor, I think, availability and of replacement, sorry, and also of deterrence and how you try and negate the risk.
I think, you know, the ongoing theme in terms of cost to consider, whether it's calibration, potential repair, practicality of warranty and all these things is the whole, you know, one of the biggest hidden costs is downtime, really. So, you know, all these things, if you accumulate them, can be equally as important as whether you're sort of spending £900, to name a random number, on something, but where the roadmap and where you kind of have a really good visibility of what the ownership, cost of ownership is going to look like for this £900 instrument, rather than buying something for £650, which I'm sure is going to be very, very good. But what happens? I'm a little bit unsure what happens if scenario A, B, and C may occur, or for when it has to be serviced or calibrated annually.
Okay, so one thing we haven't spoken about yet is also the accessories and consumables and software costs, which obviously differ between manufacturers and products.
Yeah, consumables is a good word there, really. Specifically, coming back to something like a multifunction tester, a PAT tester, where you're plugging in test leads, plugging out test leads day in, day out, fairly regularly. These connectors do wear down. Dirt, grit, whatever, get into the connectors as well, and it can mean that your tester isn't producing the readings it should be doing. So yeah, consumables you might want to factor in. Generally, we say a new set of test leads every year, depending obviously on how often you're testing. But that would be a general rule of thumb as a good example.
And obviously they differ dramatically, don't they, in cost, or they can do. So it is a factor.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be something like a £20-25 set of test leads for a multifunction tester. But at the end of the scale, if you've got like an industrial tester, then test lead sets, for example, again, could cost hundreds of pounds.
Yeah, I think even a set of test leads for a multifunction tester these days, if you're buying the sort of the manufacturer approved one, which is either sometimes recommended or sometimes it's probably required in terms of connectors. I mean, these can probably range from, I don't know, in excess of £100 at times. So it varies quite a bit, at least at the moment. Even, you know, flue gas analyzers will have their filters and potentially spare sensors at times, which is a little bit different from different makes and models, where some might have a requirement to change some of those sensors, maybe once or twice in the first sort of five years of its lifespan.
Cool.
Again, it's all things to look into in terms of cost of ownership. Battery life can obviously decrease over time for any units with inbuilt batteries. Yep. Are these available? What are the costs? Mm-hmm. So on.
And also, you talked briefly earlier on about software subscriptions as well. Now, there are a lot of smart instruments on the market now that require operation through apps and software platforms, many of which are free of charge, so they don't need to be considered in a cost of ownership, but others aren't free of charge, and quite often you'll be paying an annual or a 3 or 5 yearly license fee. So naturally, to get the most out of your test instrument, you want to be covering those costs in your mind.
Yeah, and at times also you might, different suppliers will structure it in different ways. Some things are very often these days subscription-based. You have a monthly or an annual subscription fee. Sometimes there's an option to buy that software product or app outright, which might for certain businesses just be more practical more than anything, because the money is sort of available here right now. And we often find that. But either way, they're sort of ongoing costs.
So we've discussed a whole load of areas there, and each of those areas is potentially costly in their own way, and really should be considered at point of purchase, shouldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Once the decision's been made to purchase the right piece of test equipment, and naturally that's going to be an expensive solution in many cases, and what we want to be able to do is actually offer our customer financial clarity on that test instrument.
So we've put together it's going to be called TM Care, which are a variety of care packages for a lot of our instruments, not for all our instruments, but it's sort of going to, in many ways, going to cover, as in addition to what Chris said, some financial clarity. So you'll be paying for that at the time of buying your instrument or your tester. And it'll cover a lot of these points we talked about today. So, calibration being the first one, essentially for the duration of that care plan, we'll be offering to collect that instrument ahead of its annual recalibration, take care of that for you within a very short time scale, and return it to you. So effectively, you've paid for all of that at the time of buying the instrument, so you'll have no sort of further nasty surprises or sort of ongoing payments to make for the duration of the care plan.
Yeah. I mean, also included in the care plan as well, we talked about tool theft with it being such a poignant issue right now. We're actually including a DeterTech smart water kit as well as part of the care package. And basically what that lets the customer do is apply an invisible fluid to the instrument, which is as unique as everybody's DNA is unique. That instrument is then registered by the customer on a national database, which is accessible by the police as well. So, God forbid if something was to happen and the tools were to be stolen, that the police should be able to recover that quite easily.
Yeah. And yeah. I guess in any instant, if nothing else, I think even having the labels that you get included with this kit stuck to your test instrument that you've purchased, and potentially, I think you get a few labels if I'm not mistaken, and you can sort of add those to your other equipment, so you could use that smart kit for your other tools and power tools and things like that. I think it, or a sticker for your van, it will act as a deterrent for theft, because it is going to be traceable, as Chris mentioned, on that database.
Yeah. And we talked about downtime as well. We covered that earlier on. So if your instrument is sent back for repair, and you know, naturally it does happen from time to time, and we talked about that loss of income whilst your instrument's away, we're actually extending a proposition called zero downtime for the length of the care plan, whereby we will loan the customer an instrument. Now, it'll either be the same as the one they purchased or as near a specification as we can provide at the time, that will help them basically do their job, have the tools for the job, yeah, without losing any income.
So basically, customer discovers that there's an issue. That's probably confirmed by the customer services team or by the calibration team. We know it's going to have to go back for a warranty repair. Typically, we know that might take a week, might take 2 weeks. Sometimes, you know, maybe even a little bit longer if the manufacturer or the service center are inundated with a lot of work. It doesn't really matter either way. At that time of that knowledge, our team will then ship a replacement tester, as Chris mentioned, the closest equivalent we have available. We have a wide range of different products available as part of that fleet to help keep you going. Once your instrument is back, we'll then send the instrument to you that's been repaired, your instrument back to you, and at that time we'll then collect ours. So it is as close to zero downtime as we can get, but it does give some protection in the event, hopefully unlikely event, where the instrument's away for repair.
There was one other part of the care package that we've not mentioned as well. Again, going back to good housekeeping, keeping your instrument nice and clean, there is an instrument cleaning kit within the care package too, which includes some cleaning solution and a soft cloth too.
Excellent. So it's a fully rounded kit to cover all of those points.
That's as close to it as we could get.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you will see it alongside various products on the website, testmeter.co.uk. If you're making an instrument purchase, you will see it advertised. It's just a matter of selecting the checkbox when you're purchasing your instrument. Everything that we talked about, the smart water kit, all the details will be provided in a nice little care package box as well. So you'll receive that with your goods when you take your delivery.
Excellent. I mean, that sounds like a really interesting proposition for customers when they're at point of purchase, to give themselves that clarity of cost of ownership.
That was the idea. That's the hope as well. You know, there's not many people that are doing this sort of thing inside our very small industry. So it's something that we want to extend out to our customers, and hopefully it will support them through, you know, any of these instances happening.
And it's also because we're you know, committed to looking after that instrument for years to come, and we believe we have the you know, the capability of doing that with the teams we have in place, with the amount of loan equipment we have in place, with the service and calibration team. So we're sort of well set up to offer it, and hopefully, you know, for the customer, it adds a bit of value. And hopefully we can be part of the conversation with them for when they're next looking for some test equipment.
Lovely. Well, thank you for joining us today.
Okay. Thank you.
If you'd like to learn more about Test Meter Care and Protect, please visit our website or get in touch, and we'll be more than happy to help. Thanks for tuning in today, and I hope you'll join us again soon.